Good morning. You're listening to the Garden Life edition of the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. My name is Julie Prochinski, and I'm here with my favorite co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Julie Prochinski. I'm so happy to be here with you, as usual.
Great to have you. And today our show is titled Animal Life in the Garden. We're here in the studio with our animal expert, owner of Four Seasons Farm, Tony Carey. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. But first, Julie, you have an announcement, and then let's talk a little about the weather.
I sure will, and I sure do. For those of you who love to be in the outdoors and maybe love fishing too, even if you don't, the upcoming Fly Fishing Film Tour of 2024 is coming around the corner. It's this Friday on March 8th, and it's at the Panada. Doors open at 5:30. The show is at 7. You know, you can get a beer before and look at all the great raffle items that you might want to put some money in the bucket for. And it's really an interesting show every year. If you want to know more about this year's presentation, go to www.flyfilmtour.com. And it's the biggest, I should mention, because Trout Unlimited is one of our underwriters and also just a great organization here in the community, that it is our main fundraiser for the year. So if you can make it, you'll not only enjoy it, but you'll be able to support Trout Unlimited. So please get there. Oh, and one more thing. We do have tickets, free tickets to the Fly Fishing Film Tour. And if you're the first or the second caller, you'll get a pair. And I have the phone line on and open. So if it happens, I'll grab you and get your name and number. And if for some reason I do not pick up, please leave your name and number and we will get you the tickets.
Great. That sounds great. A good start to spring.
Then. Oh, it's a fun one. It gets people revved up to think about fishing. So anyway, it gets us going for spring. All right. And now on to a very spring-like forecast. And it might get people thinking about getting out and fishing even right now, because we have sunny days coming up until Saturday. Every day, highs in the high 30s or low 40s. Cool nights, 15 to 20, but it is going to be sunny for most of this week, and we've all been waiting for that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we sure have. So that's the weather, guys. Get out and enjoy it.
Good. Cool nights and sunny days.
Warmer, sunny days. Yes. And no snow, I know, but at least we've got some snow up on the mountain now.
Yes, we do. It's beautiful up there.
There we go. All right. Well, on to today's program,
yes,
Julie.
Yes, let's do it. So Garden Life is a show about lives in the garden, but we've neglected one very important topic when we talk about the garden: raising poultry and livestock. So if you look at the market vendors, you'll see that many of them have a few animals. So we're going to right that wrong today as we explore the relationship between gardens.
Oh, we've got a call.
Oh my goodness, gardens and animals, with our special guest, Tony Carey, market vendor and owner of Four Seasons Farms in Priest River. Well, welcome again, Tony.
Thank you again. Thank you for having me.
Yes, great to have you. Please take a moment and introduce yourself and your family and tell us about what brought you to gardening. I mean, to raising animals.
Well, my name is Tony Carey. My husband, Ron, and I have Four Seasons Farm. We've raised our kids there. We've had the farm for 25 years. We have four kids. Oldest is 38, youngest is 25. They've all grown up on the farm, and they all come back occasionally when we need them to help. My oldest daughter actually is my right-hand girl these days with her kids. So the second generation is coming up. We have seven grandkids. And so I started out as just market gardening. I grew up with poultry, so that was kind of an easy... I knew I wanted chickens, but then I also wanted goats and pigs and, you know, all the things.
Sure.
Like, you know, every aspiring farmer wants. And so we just started that. I started thinking that I was going to mostly do market gardening. And then as time went on, I realized that I like gardening. It's fine. But I like the animals more because I love the personalities. And just working with them, it's a whole different level than just gardening.
Great. So what animals did you start with? Did you begin with?
I started out with chickens, which chickens. Everyone says is the gateway drug to homesteading.
Love that.
And so when I first started, I just, you know, called around and found some, you know, laying hens that were already laying. I didn't, you know, start with chicks in the beginning. I just wanted some eggs. And so, you know, cobbled together a coop and, you know, bought some laying hens and started there. And then, you know, the next year I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll, you know, try, you know, get putting a brooder together and seeing how that goes. And so that has, you know, that's where we are. Every year we do a new batch of pullets, which is, you know, female chickens rather than straight run, which you'll get hens and roosters. And so I don't incubate because I want to be true to their breed, because every year I do a different breed. So then by the fourth year, I do four different breeds. And by the fourth year, I know which ones are too old and that need to be culled. And then that new breed takes over.
Oh, now you're talking mostly laying hens here.
I'm just talking laying hens right now.
So what are the advantages to having chickens in the garden? Is it, are there any advantages to your garden as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, the fertilizer is amazing. You know, we clean our coop, we take it to the compost, we compost it, add it back to the garden. You know, they are amazing at cleaning up all the extra garden produce. You know, you always have the overgrown squash or the end of the season pumpkins that you're wondering what to do with. That all goes to the coop. When I mow my lawn, because we don't use any herbicides or pesticides, I bag up my greens and take them to my chickens. I don't let them free range because we have critters. And so I bring their goodies to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they enjoy that.
Yeah, so that leads to questions for me then, Tony. And one is, well, backing up just a little bit, I'm wondering, how do you pick your favorite breeds? You've got one breed each year. Do you have some favorites you can share?
I absolutely do. We do Rhode Island Reds, we do Barred Rocks, we do Buff Orpingtons, and we do Speckle Sussex. And my favorite is the Speckle Sussex because they're super docile. When I've had roosters in the past, they will get broody. One time I had a hen come out of the bushes with like 13 babies when my husband was getting ready to mow. And he calls me at market and says, surprise. But I normally don't keep roosters because roosters and I just don't seem to get along very well. They get a little sassy with me. So, but the Rhode Island Reds are probably my least favorite because they're a little bit more aggressive. They get a little sassy in the nest boxes when you want to take their eggs. So, you know, the Speckled Sussex will just kind of lift themselves up and let you take the eggs.
Yeah, so you're looking for kind of nice, easy chickens.
I am. You don't want
pleasant chickens.
Yes. I want pleasant chickens, for sure.
Because there are a lot of chickens. I mean, they're the chickens that lay the various colored eggs, and people will try everything. But your experience, you've decided to go with the easy ones.
I go with the ones that are going to have the best production. I know a lot of people love their fancy breeds, and that's great if you're only going to have, you know, maybe, you know, 10 chickens and you want the colored eggs. I like all my eggs to be brown. I'm a little OCD that way. And and I want the best production for, you know, because I sell eggs all year long. And that's why I go with those. I mean, the other ones are beautiful, but I have like 75 to 100 chickens at a time. And so I'm not going for
a pet, really.
I'm not going for a pet. I'm going for productivity.
Right. Yeah, I got it. Now, you had also started talking about how you're feeding your chickens and that they're contained, you know, they're in their area and for obvious reasons that are good reasons. But there are folks that love to get them into the garden so they can eat bugs, but that's not part of your...
It's not part of my thing. We have, believe it or not, we have a huge amount of wild turkeys. And they come through my garden through the whole winter and early spring. And they have done a fantastic job of keeping my bug population down. So I don't worry about my chickens over there. They're a ways away from where my garden is. And I wouldn't want to have to move them and move them back.
It's a stationary coop.
Mm-hmm. We do have our mobile pens for our meat birds. That's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, okay.
I hope we get to that. Yes, hope we have time.
We want to talk about the chicken train. Well, great. So this is leading right into where we want to go, is helping a small grower or farmer start with chickens. Okay. So beginning with, you buy your chicks from a
I buy my reputable? Chicks from a reputable feed store that I've been working with for over 25 years. I order them in December. In fact, I have chicks coming this week. I have 30 Speckle Sussex coming on Thursday. And they'll go in the brooder with the heat lamp. They'll be in there for about 3 weeks, and then they'll go to the teenage pen, depending on, it does not have a heat lamp, depending on the weather, and then they'll go out into a mobile pasture cage, and they'll stay there until they're getting ready to lay, which they will lay, they'll start laying around 18 weeks, anywhere from 16 to 20. 18 weeks seems to be about standard.
Okay.
And then we will take the older chickens out and cull them, and then move the new chickens in. We'll take them up and we'll clip a wing. So just one. So mm-hmm. then they don't fly over the fence and, you know, acclimate them into their new home.
So the lifespan for an egg chicken is 4 years.
At my farm, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, I know that the highest production is usually like 18 months to 2 years. And some people, some high productivity places will only keep their chickens 2 years. I find that to be a bit
short.
Short.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like having the four different breeds.
Well, that makes that the such a great way to do it, because you can pick them out. You can pick the old girls out instead of a, oh, is she laid in 4 days? Well, how in the world?
You're not going to know that. Not unless I'm going to stand out there all day long.
What about vet care? Do you have to have the vet come in? Are they inoculated when they come?
I have never had a vet for my chickens. Okay. I've never had a problem. I think, I mean, maybe because I don't free range and they're just in their pen area, which is a good sized pen area. I don't do any, my vet care is very, very minimal. I don't do shots of any sort. I don't do antibiotics. I don't do any of that.
How much space would you say you have for your, 70 chickens or square footage? Or is there a guideline to how much space you need?
There is a guideline, but I don't really adhere to that. They kind of have a tendency to always want to like bunch together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can give them a huge area and they're all going to like, you know, 10 of them are all going to sleep in one area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have like almost 20 nest boxes and 5 of them all get used.
Oh.
They'll all lay their eggs in like 5 boxes. I'm not, you know, there'll be 10 eggs in one box. You know, who knows?
A gang.
Totally.
So let's go to meat chickens now. Will you get them this week as well?
I will not. So my brooder will hold 50 birds, 25 in each side. And so I always start out in March with my pullets. And then in April, I will get my meat birds the first week. I get my birds the first week of every month from April through August. And then they will be in the brooder for approximately 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how big they get and how warm it is and when I can move them to the teenage brooder. And then they also go out to a pasture cage. And then they will live their life out there. And we process anywhere between 8 to 10 weeks. 9 weeks is, in my personal experience, the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of have to depend on family help because we do it as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we schedule our processing days on Sundays and we make it a little family party.
Nice.
And I go get ice and snacks and lunch and everybody helps. And we have a fun day.
And does everyone get to go home with some fresh chicken?
They do, but usually it's towards more to the end of the season. And then usually I just, it's mostly for my customers. But then, you know, sometimes I'll have some bigger ones, some smaller ones. We always have what we call home birds. They're the ones that maybe the skin tears in the plucker or maybe a wing breaks. Those are the home chickens. Those mm-hmm. are the ones they get.
You can share those. Yes.
We share those. Yep.
Nice. So you sell the whole chickens.
We sell whole chickens. Market. We do not cut them up.
And you have a...
We have killing cones. We have a scalder. We have a plucker. We have all of it.
All of it.
So it requires a certain amount of equipment to really do the job right with...
I raise 50 birds at a time. And so we usually end up processing around 45 because, you know, you usually lose a couple. That's a pretty big amount.
Yes.
If you're going to only do like 5, you could totally do it by hand. A lot of people skin their birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that works out fine. I mean, we've done chickens years ago before we had equipment just for ourselves. And it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it on the scale that we do it on, a scalder and a plucker is amazing.
You need a lot of children.
Yeah, we need a lot of children, and we don't have that many children.
Boy, from what I'm hearing, I think I'd rather be a layer than a
than a meat bird?
Yes, a meat bird. I don't want to be a meat bird.
What variety of meat birds are they?
There's Cornish Cross, which is what we raise, and there's also the Red Rangers, and there's a few others. We tried the Red Rangers last year. I wasn't really a fan. I got about 20 of those just to try them. They take longer. They're hardier. The reason the people like them is because Cornish Cross are, they're a fragile bird. They just want to up and die, seriously. And so the Red Rangers are hardier, but it takes longer. So it takes about 14, 16 weeks.
Wow. Quite a bit longer.
Quite a bit longer. Yeah. And the meat's a darker meat, which was fine, but they are harder to eviscerate gut.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Tougher skin then.
For some reason, the insides are harder to pull out.
So do you have to have a commercial kitchen to bring them to market?
I don't take them to market.
Oh, okay. I see.
Don't. We're
private
not.
Sales.
It's private sales. Yep.
Sure.
Yeah. The only meat I take to market is my pork. And if I have beef, because we take that to Woods, which is USDA.
Okay.
I see. So if you became a big time commercial producer,
my family would disown me.
But you'd have more, much more, many more hoops to jump through.
100%. 100%.
Yes. I get it.
Yeah.
And listeners, you hear it all here. If you want to know which chicken is the one that's easiest to get the guts out of, we're going to let you know it.
People need to know if they're going to, if they want to do something, you know, I mean.
Yes. That's butchering an animal. There's 100%. A difference between a pet chicken and a meat chicken.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And there's, you know, no comparison. I mean, a lot of people will take their, you know, like I use the, you know, the stewing hens. I've used them for my casseroles, soup, broth, dog food. I've, you know, cooked a chicken for my dog when she wasn't feeling well and stuff and everything. So, but, you know, the meat birds, they're fantastic. They really are. So
no comparison.
Absolutely no comparison to store-bought. No. Absolutely not.
I want to get on our list.
Me too. I want to get on it right now before any listeners call her up.
Yeah, that's right. Shut the phone off, Julie. Right. Well, I think this is probably, should we take a little tiny break here and move into pigs after our little break here with our chicken song, Julie?
It sounds good to me. And so we've picked a couple of good chicken songs for this morning. And the first one you'll have the pleasure to listen to is Little Feet's.
Welcome back to 88.5 KRFY. And we're talking about all things animals this morning. And after that song about the Dixie chicken, we still have more chicken conversation to talk about. We're here with Julie Calamine and Tony Carey. But let's talk about the fodder. What do they live in? How do the coops look and the pasture pens and those kind of things?
So our chicken coop is a refurbished cinder block shed that was on the farm. And it's got a concrete floor. And it's got a couple of windows, and we have them just screened. We don't cover them up in the winter because there's so many chickens in there that they produce plenty of heat. We do have lights on, supplemental lighting in the winter, which helps them lay more. Some people give their chickens a break in the winter. I don't, again, because we are about production.
Year-round.
Year-round production, yes. But we don't use any sort of supplemental heat because chickens don't need heat, and that's just, a lot of people will put heat in their chickens, and that's just not good for them. Our chicken coop, we use the deep litter method, and we clean our coop. Oh, you know, we try for about four times a year, you know, the seasons and stuff, and we just add some more shavings, and then we'll clean it out, take it to the compost, and work it around, and then it'll end up in the garden eventually.
Shavings instead of straw?
Shavings instead of straw, it's easier to get out. Straw has a tendency to kind of mat and not want to come out as easily with a shovel.
Yes.
So we found the easier ways to clean and, you know, work smarter, not harder.
And it still makes nice compost for you.
It does. It does. It breaks down a lot easier than the straw does also. That takes a lot longer to break down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
My girlfriend has a automatic opener.
Where you know, I've kind of looked into that.
That is pretty darn cool.
Well, we had a little bit of a fiasco a couple weeks ago. I went out there in the morning to do my chicken chores, and I was feeding them, and I turned around, and a giant owl flew out of my coop. It was hiding in the corner. My husband had heard it the night before, and it went in the little chicken door, because we have a chicken door that we don't close at night. I had no dead chickens, but I turned around and saw this giant owl face look at me, and it flew to the bottom of the door and went through the little doorway, because that's how it had came in. And I've never.
Wow.
we've had a skunk in the coop before. We've had raccoons in our coop yard, but that was new.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So, well,
maybe an automatic door is in your future.
It might be. We were kind of talking about it.
It sure makes it easy for not going out every night, because she has a lot of critters coming around as
right,
well.
Right, for sure. So. We have a livestock guardian dog that patrols.
Okay.
And so we haven't really had, occasionally we'll lose a chicken here or there, because obviously you can't be everywhere. But our chicken loss is pretty minimal. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
The pasture pens, let's talk about that.
Pasture pens, we have two different varieties. We have one that's about 2 feet tall, 8x8, that holds about 50 chickens. And then we have a couple that are 4x8 that'll hold 25. And then we bought from a friend of mine and a fellow farmer who was getting out of the chicken business. Hers are more of a, like an A-frame kind of, and they have a tarp over the top. Ours are heavier with wood and a metal top. So they're really great in the heat of the summer. So we've figured out which pens to use during which times of the year, because they're susceptible to overheating.
Yes.
If it gets too hot.
Sure.
We've had some hot summers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we kind of we have to vent. We've figured out put shade cloth on the wire part, which really helps. So over the years, we've kind of had to adapt with our summers being a little warmer than they used to be years ago.
So heat is really more of a problem than cold with chickens.
It can be. I mean, it's kind of a fine, you're walking a fine line. You know, you don't want to put them out there when it's too cold. But meat birds are very hot birds. You can pick them up and they are warm. So once they're past the heat lamp stage, they pretty much can keep themselves warm, because they're just little like food machines.
Mm-hmm. And those feathers.
But they barely have feathers. Like, they don't have near as many feathers as the Red Rangers do.
Oh.
Yeah. So so they're a lot easier to pluck in that respect, too.
Turkeys?
We do turkeys. I do about maybe 10 or 15. Same thing. They go in a brooder, and then they go out on a pasture cage, and then I put them in a different pen because they get taller. Same thing. We'll move them to the pen. We'll clip a wing. Mm-hmm. We raise those up for 16 weeks, and they will range anywhere from 13, 14 pounds to up to 20. Past 16 weeks, I end up with toms that are in the 25-pound range.
Ooh.
That's a bit big, but the hens are always a little bit smaller. So when my customers order, they'll tell me what size they want, and so I can accommodate them. And so, it's, you know, your hens are smaller, your toms are bigger.
Are these all Thanksgiving birds?
Yes.
Yeah.
We only do them for the one time a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd been in my family or been selling turkeys to my family, we had five kids, and my mom always wanted like that 25 to 30 pound bird. Oh my gosh, how do you even fit it in an oven? She barely could.
Right, for sure, 100%.
Yeah. Right.
So they taste the same, toms and hens?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finally, let's talk about food. What do you feed your chickens?
I feed my chickens like a flock raiser type food. And we get our feed from Woods here locally, and it's no corn. And I use the mega layer for my laying hens. And the turkeys eat basically, they're just like on a grower for the whole season.
And you've already told us that you supplement with like leftover food and grass clippings. So do they need a lot of store food or not?
Oh, they do.
The
meat birds, that's all they eat. I mean, we move them on fresh grass every day, day and a half, depending on weather. But they will, you know, I mean, they eat the grass, but they're eating quite a bit of feed too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know that's kind of a misconception. People figure that they can put their pasture birds on pasture and that's how they're going to raise them, but they're not going to grow on that. Mm-hmm. That's not a full diet
right.
with, you know, minerals and vitamins and the things that they need to be able to grow a quality product.
Right.
So
and grit, you
we don't problem, I
don't you don't have to
I
do
don't
that.
Do grit because their pen has sure. dirt and they're out on the grass and mm-hmm. so there's I mean they have dirt everywhere. They make their own, like my chickens in my chicken yard, they make their own like little areas, their little dirt baths areas, stuff like that. I don't supplement with oyster shell. Some people do. I don't find that I have a problem with my shells not being hard enough. So I don't supplement with that. I also don't. I know some people will do like fodder, you know, greens. They'll, you know, sprout wheat and stuff like that for their chickens. I don't have time for that. So mm-hmm. I don't do any of that. Mm-hmm. I would rather just give them garden produce and, you know, leftovers that I have that way.
Do you do any medical, I mean, any supplement in their water? I read apple cider vinegar in their
I
water.
I don't. I just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people, that, I mean, I've read all the statistics. Mm-hmm. I know people do that. I just keep things pretty simple, and mm-hmm. it's worked for me.
Well, you've got a robust farm.
We do.
Mm-hmm. That's producing.
Right. I mean, we have our pasture cages go at the bottom of our garden area. And so that, you know, the water runoff from the garden goes down there. It keeps the grass growing. And so we just, you know, rotate. We have another pasture that we can put cages on that we do that. So, you know, the rotational, keeping them, you know, and then you have the winter to rest and then grow up in the spring again. So mm-hmm. it all works.
Great. Julie, any more chicken questions?
I think you guys covered the ones I still had. So great job. I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next favorite animal of the small farmer is pigs. You also grow pigs.
Pigs are my favorite.
Where do you get the piglings?
I have a gal that I've been getting piglets from for a number of years. It's always a struggle because, you know, piglets are difficult. We used to raise our own. I had sows and a boar, and we did that for many years when my kids were home. We did that so they'd have 4-H pigs and also so I would have my own piglets. But as my kids have grown up and my husband has worked more, because the optimum time really to have spring piglets is like now, February, mm-hmm. March,
mm-hmm.
And the weather is never cooperative. They will deliver in the middle of the night in the worst weather, coldest days always. And it's really hard to do that with one person. I mean, I know people that do it. I don't want to do that by myself. So I've gotten to where I just buy the piglets that I need. And I have contacts. I have friends that, you know, provide me. That mm-hmm. have sows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the work that they do because I know how hard it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about vet care for the piglets?
When I raised them, I did not clip eye teeth. I did not give iron shots. Don't cut the tails. They're on dirt, so they don't need iron shots. And the gal I get them from, we usually do like a wormer in mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yeah, so that's not that hard. And how many do you have per year?
I usually do anywhere from 8 to 10.
And then they'll go to processing at
and
the end
go
of
to
the
processing.
Season.
Yeah, usually I figure from the time of birth to when I'm going to process is usually about 6 months.
Mm.
And then I'm going to end up with a hog that's anywhere from 220 to about 250.
I bet they're
that's
delicious.
That's a lot of weight.
They're delicious. They're always fun to load. That's always a fun time.
A lot of sure hollering, is. If a lot I remember from the farm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we have a huge trailer, and it's always kind of an adventure to get them to load. Finally, after doing this for so many years, my husband built a loading ramp a few years back, and that has made a world of difference.
Tony, you've talked about the importance to you of breeds of chicken. Is it important when it comes to pigs, personalities, and their growth characteristics, that kind of thing?
I do like the standard, I would call them your standard pigs, like your Duroc's and your Hamps and your Berkshires. I know that there's a lot of heritage breeds. I know people are very hip on the Mangalista and the Coon Coons and those more breeds that people are trying to bring back, but they're smaller. They take longer to to produce meat. I know the mangalistas take like 18 months.
Wow.
I don't have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. I find that I like the Duroc's. I really like the Hamps a lot. Those are the black and whites. The Berkshires are nice. I like the Landrus, which is the longer white. I like them. You know, they're your standard kind of, you know, the Landrus, the long white ones are kind of your standard industry pig. They grow well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they grow well. And if you don't overcrowd them and you feed them a quality diet, they do well. You know, I don't have a lot of problems with them being sick. But they have a big yard area.
Yeah, that's the next question. Yeah. How big of a yard area do they need?
It's good size. I mean, you know, and we rotate and move them around and kind of give them different areas and stuff like that. I don't have them out on like pastures because I don't want them to tear completely up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, they're happy. They're happy pigs. They're running around being silly. And they're just, the personalities are amazing. And they're so fun. You know, they're my favorite.
Yes. And you take them to, who, do you take them to woods?
I take them to woods.
Yep. After they're...
When they're ready. Yep.
Uh-huh.
When they're ready to process. Jody at Woods has been amazing. And she's always, you know, gets me a good date. And it's just, they've been amazing. I've worked with them for so many years. I can't recommend them highly enough.
And then you can market that meat.
I can. Mm-hmm. I can take the cuts to market. They're USDA processed.
Mm-hmm.
They have the cuts on the package. I can take them to market. Yeah, I can do that. Or most of my sales are halves and wholes, but I do sell cuts
mm-hmm.
when I have them.
Yeah. And how early do people have to sign up to get one of them?
Well, I just sent out my my newsletter this last month, which has my newsletter, my order form, my plant order form. And so my customers that are repeat customers get a newsletter. They get all that in the mail, snail mail, and then they can't, that way they don't lose it in their, you know, in their email file.
Right.
And they can fill all that out, decide what they want for the season, send me a deposit, and then they can relax. And then in the fall, all their stuff comes to them and they're good to go for the next year.
I've got more questions about feeding pigs, and it comes from something I know from one of my family members who lives in Minnesota. He runs a restaurant there, and he has pig people that want to come for things that would otherwise go into his dumpster. How do you find your food?
I feed the Woods hog grower. And that's all I feed.
Oh.
Unless I have, when I've had goats in the past, I've supplemented with my goat milk. If I have extra eggs, I will give them extra eggs. I will give them extra produce, of course. They love things like pumpkins and squash.
They're all the leftover
Yeah.
stuff.
I mean, you know, you're always going to, when we harvest, we'll harvest, you know, squash. But somehow, you know, the 2-foot long squash evades you every time. They love that. I know people who have raised pigs on restaurant waste, and in my opinion they are garbage pigs, and they smell it like it when you cook them.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
So you're not dumpster diving for
absolutely
your
pigs. Not absolutely. Okay. Not No. And that, and you know, our cost for our product is reflective of the fact that we feed a quality feed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for the animals.
Absolutely.
If you're growing them for meat,
right? And it has, you know, all the minerals and all the vitamins and everything that they need to be able to, for us to raise them up from, because basically we have them like 4 months.
Right.
You know,
not very long.
No, not at all. I get them at about 6 to 8 weeks, and they're going, you know, in the fall. And, you know, I mean, that's a lot of weight that they're putting on.
Yes.
In that amount of time. But we feed them a lot of food.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. They're good pigs. Growing fast. All right. So I think that's it for food. The nice thing about pigs, do you need shelter for pigs?
We have on our farm. It was the original farm in our area. And so we have the old barn that we have kind of reconfigured. I have an area in there for my brooders. I have an area in there for pigs. I have, you know, a place to store hay. And then we have, you know, shelter for the pigs and shelter when we have steers. I also have, you know, my goat area and stuff like that. So we've been able to reconfigure. So, yes, the pigs have great shelter mm-hmm. and shade when it gets hot.
Yes, they really need the shade.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question about your choice of animals you're raising these days, Tony, because you've been around doing this for like 25 years and you've raised just about everything. And now you're mainly doing the chickens and the pigs. And how did you decide to narrow down to those two animals?
Well, as my family has grown and moved on and my husband has gotten busier with his work, I have to be able to manage everything. And I find that I've stuck with what sells well, that my customers want, that I can easily manage by myself if I need to. Obviously, I get help with processing and loading and things like that. But on a daily basis, I can handle, you know, farm chores by myself. I've had goats, which I miss, but I don't necessarily miss going to the barn in the winter and having to keep it plowed and all that. Our barn is downhill from our house, so I've had pigs in the winter, and to try to get them out when the weather, you know, it's either snowy or it's raining so much and we can't get up the hill. So we've kind of narrowed down to what works. Mm-hmm. I've definitely kind of narrowed it down to what I actually am making money on.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you want to be sustainable.
That's right.
And so we do, you know, we do our chicken, our laying hens, our meat birds, our turkeys. We do our hogs. I do a harvest box, which is some cuts of a few chickens, some cuts of pork, some garlic and jam jars and eggs. And it's just a fall. It's just a fall harvest box with a bunch of goodies in it. We also do our CSA, our produce delivery in the summer, and we do egg deliveries all year. So those things have, you know, I mean, that's a lot.
Yes, that's a lot of work. Like my dad said, when you only work 40 hours a week, what do you do the rest of the time?
You become a gardener.
He's a farmer.
Right? Yeah. Funny. And then all that manure gets to go into the garden. And how do you decide what part of the garden gets pig manure, what gets chicken? Do you just mix it all together?
We just mix it all together.
Okay.
Compost it and let it sit for a while. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then just my husband gets the tractor and mm-hmm. puts it in the bucket and just puts it in there and tills it. And we just go from there.
Right. Symbiotic relationship.
For sure. For sure.
You grow garlic?
We do grow garlic. I didn't plant any this fall. We're kind of revamping a little bit of the garden this year. So we're kind of moving a few things around. But normally we do grow garlic. And, you know, basically all the other things, mm-hmm. you know, your basic garden produce.
And is it the same decision-making process for you? What's going to sell best? What can you handle? Like, what are your favorite sort of veggies?
For sure,
veggies?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of narrowed everything down to what produces well for us, what our favorite varieties are, what grows well, mm-hmm. you know.
And you have a greenhouse, so you're growing mm-hmm. seedlings as well.
I start my stuff in the basement. Mm-hmm. I have heat mats and grow lights in my basement with shelves. They're down there for about a month. And then I move them to the greenhouse, which I heat. And then we start, you know, transplanting into pots. I take seedlings to market. Plus, I also sell to customers. And then we plant out in the garden, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow, you are busy.
Yes, my gosh, between animals and plants and selling commercially. Oh, my goodness, you must never rest.
I rest in January.
You're starting to gear up right now.
I've got chicks coming this week. I've got plants started in the basement. Our snow keeps melting, but then we get a couple more inches, but we need to get out there. We need to clean the coop.
I was going to say, how do you begin? How do you prepare?
We start raking and cleaning the yard and fixing fence and cleaning the coop and all the things that need done in the spring. I have my spring list on my cabinet.
Wow.
Wow. We're lucky to got you in before it all kind of started.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Well, Tony, as we are coming to an end of really a great interview, are there any thoughts or encouragement you could give to a young gardener about getting going? They're not going to start out with all the things you've got going, but what are some easy ways if you're listening today and you're thinking, maybe I would like to have an animal, a bit of an animal connection and also some gardening. What's an easy way to get going? Chickens?
I would say chickens. Chickens are easy and you know, you can give them some extra water and food and you can go away for the night. You know, I mean, and I've even done that with my pigs. I've fed them. I've made sure they have plenty of water and fed them extra, and I can go away for the night. Other things are harder. Like for us, you know, like when we get into spring with the greenhouse, you know, you have to, you know, your temperature of the greenhouse mm-hmm. and the heater and open the doors and all the things. But if somebody's starting out, I would just say start out with one thing and, you know, make sure you can do that pretty well. We did not start out doing all the things. I got chickens 1 year. The next year, I got a couple of milk goats. And because I wanted milk goats for milk for my kids and I wanted to learn to make cheese and soap, I did that. We got two pigs for our family. And then as people started asking me, oh, well, are you going to sell something? And, you know, then I got like three pigs. And then, you know, I've worked my way up in 25 years. I didn't start out with, you know, 50 meat birds and 100 chickens and 10 pigs. I started out with, you know, like 10 chickens, and we didn't do meat birds for, oh, probably 4 years or so, you know, because we were going to have to process them ourselves, and they were just for us. And then, you know, as we got more into it, I'm like, okay, yeah, we can add. I mean, I try to add or take away each season, depending on what happened the last season, you know, what the challenge was. If something was productive, do I need to make changes, or can I just keep it going?
Do you keep a good journal of everything that's happening?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. I keep all kinds of notes. I keep everything. All my bookkeeping is, everything is separate. Like my laying hens and my income and expenses for my laying hens is different than my meat birds, which is different than the hogs, which is different from the garden, which everything is separated. Mm-hmm. So then I know what has cost me more, what I'm actually making money on. Some things are kind of, you would call almost like a loss leader, because you're not making quite as much money here, but you're making a little bit more money here, but it's still cost effective to do it mm-hmm. for the farm overall. So, you know, you're just constantly, and you're constantly looking at ways to make it better and to rework things. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Every season I'm like, how can I make it better? How can I make it a little bit easier? How can I make it easier on my family, because they do come help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate them so much.
Oh yes.
And my girls, they help me at market. I could not do market by myself. So I've got my two girls that alternate, and now my grandkids are starting to come do market because my kids started doing market. I've done this. This is my 16th year in Sandpoint. I did 7 years in Newport before that.
Wow.
So I've raised my kids at market. They've all learned how to make change and to help customers. So, and now my grandkids are able to do that. And that's really fun.
That's great.
And it's kind of fun for kids.
Oh, for sure. They absolutely love it. And I love seeing them interact with the customers. And the customers love it. You know, they're like, hi, how are you? How was your day? Thank you so much. It's just super fun.
That is great. Let's talk about 4-H just real quick. Since we're talking about the grandkids, are they in 4-H?
They are. My grandson, Wyatt, this will be his third year. And my granddaughter, Aspen, this will be her first year. And I'm so excited to see Aspen. She's been wanting to do it, but she's just now old enough.
Pigs or chickens?
Pigs. Market hog.
Market hog. Yep. Money.
Money.
For those mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah, for sure. And so, and they have to walk them and take care of them. And it's just so fun. I take that Saturday off market so I can go see them at the auction and you know, go up and visit them. And that's a fun time. It's fun to see the next generation.
You know, it must really be special for you to know that you've passed this information on to your kids and now grandkids. And I, as you were explaining how careful a business person you are, I was sitting and thinking about other interviews we've done, Julie. One was with the... Well, more than once, but it has been the extension, Bonner and Boundary County Extension. And, you know, there are courses you can take on learning small farming, animal husbandry. And I'm like, man, if they're hearing this, they're probably going to want to hire you. You know so much.
Well, I've taken a ton of classes. I've taken classes with Diane Green. And anytime I could take classes for years, and even though, like Diane would always say to me, you take my classes. What am I teaching you? Every time I take a class, I will learn one thing. And if I learn just one small thing that's going to make a difference, it's worth it to me.
Great. Hmm. Knowledge and information
100%.
Can't go wrong. Right. Yes. And keeping good notes is
mm-hmm.
huge.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That is huge. So I guess that kind of brings us to a conclusion of our excellent interview today with Tony Carey of Four Seasons Farms. How can people get a hold of you if you need people to get a hold of you?
They can go to my email, which is fourseasonsfarm@live.com. They can go online to our website, which is fourseasons.farm, and find me that way. I'm also on Facebook.
Wait till you get to the market.
Or come see me at the market. The first market's May 4th.
Boy, it sounds great and it sounds easy. I'll be going online and checking out what you have going on. Well, this has been a great show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for asking me. Uh-huh. It was fun.
All right, folks. Well, we've still got some chicken songs left in the song library. So here comes one and possibly two. But this one is Rye Cooter's Crow Black Chicken. Here it comes.